chapter number 6. Solomon's Song and chapter number 6, if you would please, in your Bibles this morning. I tell you, God has richly blessed. And all God's people ought to be able to say amen. Yes, sir, God's been good to us. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to get better. What did I tell you 2 weeks ago this morning? I said it's over. She found him. She found him. She found him. She found him. Amen. I'm going to tell you, when they met, there were sparks of flying, buddy. One rich love affair between Christ and his church. Nothing like it, friend. There is not another relationship under heaven like Christ and his church. Praise his wonderful name. Song of Solomon, chapter number 6. And we want to begin reading in verse number 1. Song of Solomon 6 and verse number 1. The Bible said, "Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee?" Turn this microphone on for Brother Robert. I imagine he'd appreciate that. "My beloved is gone down into his garden to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. Thy teeth are as a flock of sheep, which go up from the washing, whereof every one beareth twins, and there is none, not one, barren among them. As a piece of pomegranate are thy temples within thy locks. There are 80 queens and 40 concubines, and virgins without number. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her." Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Let's pray together. Our Father, we bow with a very thankful heart this morning for what we've already heard, thy blessings upon us, and those, Lord, that you've used to be such a blessing to us. We're grateful to them that their hearts are open and tender and responsive, Lord, to the will of God for their life. Thank you for those that can be a blessing, knowing, Lord, that they shall receive the greater reward, for it is more blessed to give than to receive. I pray, though, that you'd help us here this morning. I ask for a special touch from God to preach thy word. Give grace and great glory. Anoint the ears of your people to hear, and anoint their hearts with the oil of God that they might understand. Grant your servant liberty and power to preach. Fill me with great grace and great glory, that I might be a blessing to the people of God. May sinners today come to a knowledge of Christ, and every soul in this room find help from thee, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, the Scripture, in the last part of verse number 5, including verses 6 and 7, I've already spoken on in a previous chapter. And we're not going to take time to try to rehash what Brother Hall preached to you some time ago. And so I want to pick up this morning in verses number 8 and 9, where Solomon said, "There are 80 queens and 40 concubines and virgins without number." My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her, yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. I want to try to preach for a little while this morning on the thought of Christ's unique church. The unique church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I use the word unique, it simply means that it's one of a kind. And it means to be beyond improvement. If something is unique, there is no such word as uniquer or uniquest. I'm simply saying that the church of the Lord Jesus is a very unique organization. It is one of a kind. And I want to say you cannot improve on the church. Hallelujah to God. He has bought it with His own blood. And there is no improvement on it. I tell you, there are diversities of doctrines in the world that would try to lead you and I to believe that the church can be improved upon. But I'm telling you, my friend, the church of the Lord Jesus is without improving upon, because it is a divine work of God, and it's not being done by the hands of men. Any building that is built by man, yes, it can be improved upon. But I tell you, we are a spiritual house. We are being built by God Almighty. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now I'm here to tell you, the work that Christ does, my friend, cannot be improved upon. How can mankind improve upon something that is done by Almighty God? I tell you, that is an impossibility. And there are a lot of men today trying to build churches. But I'm telling you, if they build in vain or labor in vain, except the Lord build the house. I'm glad, thank God, that for the 13 years I've been here, I've seen the hand of God upon this church, not building it through me, but by the eternal Spirit of the living God. I'm glad, thank God. Oh, somebody said, preacher, we're not a growing in number. He's not concerned about numbers. He's concerned about quality. And I've seen the quality of our church grow and abound by the grace of God. I'm glad that He has built a unique church that will bring glory to His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, where do you get unique? Well, He said there's 60. He said there's 60 queens. There's 80 concubines. And He said there's virgins without number. But He said, My bride, my undefiled one, my dove, is but one. And she's the choice one of her mother that bare her. Not many, but just one. There's 60 conscious, 60 queens, but there's one church. There's 80 concubines, but there's one church. There's virgins without number, but there's only one church. Hallelujah to God. And I'm going to butt some things in a minute. I hope it don't make anybody mad. But I'm telling you what, my friend. I'm just about sick and tired of everybody, everything under the sun, tacking a shingle out over their door and calling themselves a church. And they ain't no more a church than a billy goat's a bulldozer. I saw one the other day, the Resurrection Church, the New Life Church, the Family Life Church, this church and that church. I'm going to tell you, He said there's 60 queens, and there's 80 concubines, and there's virgins without number. But He said, my dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the choice one of her mother that bare her. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, not churches. I'll build my church. One church is all that He's ever built. I won't charge you nothing for that. Now, I'm not going into detail, but I want to mention these queens and concubines and virgins. Who are they? And what are they? I believe if you'll study it out, and there's a lot of different interpretations as to what they are. But I personally believe that they are all the children of God in different degrees of spiritual growth. There are those queens, my friend, that have intimate fellowship and relationship with the King. And by the way, their offsprings are in line for the inheritance. There's also then the concubines that they, and pardon my expression, but they have bedroom rights to the King, but their offsprings are without inheritance. And then there is the virgins that make up those novices or those new converts that have yet to experience the riches of the grace of God. These believers, they stand in large numbers, but His bride, the church, is but one. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad He said there's numbers of believers, but my church is but one. The choice of her mother that bare her, she is only one. Many degrees of spiritual growth within the church, all making up one bride. Hallelujah to God. Now, what makes our church so unique? What makes the church so unique? You ain't going to quit on me now, are you? I hope you don't, because I'm getting... Hey, now look here. I was sitting in my office several years ago, and a fellow called and said, "Preacher," said, "why do you call yourself a church?" I said, "Well, because Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And he said, "Well..." But he said, "Do you find Baptist church anywhere in the Bible?" I said, "Well, not by name, but by doctrine." He said, "Well," he said, "Brother Paul said, the church of Christ." He said, "That's what the church is the church of Christ." I want to tell you, my friend, you cannot take something that is spoken of figuratively in the Bible and interpret it to mean factual or reality. Oh, Paul did say the church of Christ. And by the way, that's absolutely right. I'm glad that we are the church of Christ. Somebody said, "Hell, because He sold us and He bought us and He baptized us into the body and He made us the church that belongs to Christ." Hallelujah to God. I'm going to tell you, this unique church is not a bunch of water dogs. Huh? There's a lot of names out there that says church. But His church is unique, friend. It's one of a kind. Oh, yes. And it doesn't include... I'm going to show you why in just a minute. It's not a... One reason is we're not baptized into that baptistry. Oh, no, sir. Thank God the Holy Ghost has made us what we are. I'm not saved by that water baptism. I'm saved by the grace of God through faith. Come on the house, children. I'm going to tell you. There's another place in the Bible where it says the church of God. And these folks are right, the church of God. I love her, and she's dead and gone. I'm not criticizing her. But my wife's grandmother lived to be 99 years old. And we was talking one day, and I don't remember what the conversation was all about. But she said, "Oh, Lord, honey," she said, "Jerry, son," said, "the Bible says that His church is the church of God. And I'm glad that I'm the church of God." Well, if that's the case, I wonder which one of them. Of course, there's a church. Come on in the house, youngins. There's a church of God. There's a church of God of prophecy. There's a church of God of Jesus Christ in God. That's a black church, by the way. Amen. Everybody that names church over their door is not a church that Christ built. He did not build that one. Amen. Somebody said, "What is it?" It's a Baptist church. Amen. Somebody said, "How do you know that?" I've read the Bible. Have you read it?
He said the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Come on in the building, youngins. I don't know another group or another organization that's got church over their door that stands on the unadulterated truth of the Word of God other than we that call ourselves Baptists by the grace of God. I'm saved by grace. I'm a Christian because God loved me and saved me. But neighbor, I'm a Baptist by conviction. The Holy Ghost of God led me where I'm at. I'm like Brother Paul. I didn't confer with flesh and blood, son. It wasn't a man that revealed it to me, but it was the Spirit of the living God. Oh, he said, my undefiled, my dove, my undefiled. She is but one. There's 60 queens, 80 concubines, and virgin without number. But my bride, he said, is only one. Oh, yes, sir. Now, I want to ask you, what makes us, and I'm trying to hurry, what makes us unique as the only one of Christ? Huh? I'll be honest with you, and I'm not being obnoxious. I don't think you can improve on a Baptist church. Oh, we got our warts inside the church. But I'm going to tell you, hey, you trace our heritage, and I'm not preaching on the history of Baptists. But Brother Johnny Jones could if he was here. You trace our heritage all the way back, friend, find out where. And I'm not a Baptist brider. I'm not a Baptist brider. Some fella told me, he said, well, we was told that you believe only Baptists is going to heaven. I've got news for you. I don't think many of them are going. I believe there's other folks going. In fact, there's 60 queens and 80 concubines. And virgins without number. Amen. Come on in the house, youngin. Oh, yes, you're looking at a man that believes that the church is baptistic and it's the church that Christ has built it, and there's some things that make us unique. Amen. But one. Now, I'd say some of you look mighty puzzled. Huh? Have I scared some of you half to death? Huh? Listen carefully. I want to say that we are unique, one of a kind, amen, in our conversion. Amen. Somebody said, how can it be, preacher? Well, let me read my text verse for that, my proof text. Harold Sattler used to say, boys, don't ever get up and preach if you ain't got a proof text. Amen. Something to prove what you're preaching is right. Amen. Let me read my proof text, and I think you'll get a hold of it. John 3:8. When Nicodemus went come to the Lord by night and said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man do these miracles thou doest except God be with him. Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can these things be? How can a man when he's old enter in his mother's womb a second time be born again? Jesus said, verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then he made this one wonderful statement in verse number 8. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whither it cometh and whither it goeth. Get this now, and I am not reading a Sears Roebuck catalog. And so is everyone. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I'm telling you, there is only one way to be saved, friend, and that's by the Holy Ghost and the wind of blowing and birthing us into the family of God. And somebody that'll tell you you've got to be baptized to get saved, or in Jesus' name to be saved, or to rattle in some gibberish to be saved is a lying devil out of hell, and they don't know anything about the grace of God. We're unique in our conversion. Now, friend, if that rubs you the wrong way, hang around, I'll stroke you and rubber right back down and lay the hide down again. I'm reading to you the Bible. Who you going to believe, the Bible or Grandpa and Grandma? So is everyone. Everyone. You want me to tell you how Brother Andy got saved? The wind come a-blowing his direction. I'm going to tell Miss Sharon got saved. Wind come a-blowing her way. I'm going to tell Brother Mark got in on that bridge that night. The wind come a-blowing his way. Hallelujah to God. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. We are unique in our conversion. There's none other like us. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Now, do you believe that? Huh? You don't tell the wind where to blow or how to blow. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Wherever it wants to is where it's a-blowing. It ain't Father right now over there that I command you. Poor benighted idiots. Huh? Now, I don't mean to be ugly, neighbor. That Bible said the wind blows where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof. But you cannot tell where it come from, where it's going to. And so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And you can tell them Gary Hall said this, don't make no difference to me. But I'm telling you, a man that tells me you've got to get in that baptistry in order to be saved is a lying getcha gonchy, and his mammy don't want him. Man tells you that you have got to be baptized in Jesus' name only, or you ain't going, they don't know the Bible. Somebody tells you, except you speak in an unknown tongue, you're not saved, they don't know their Bible. Oh, and I'm not saying they're not all saved, some of them may say, but I'm saying they're not a part. They may be a queen or a concubine or a virgin, but they're not in the church that Christ is building today. I won't charge you nothing for that this morning. Hallelujah to God, but we're unique in our conversion. Now listen now. Conversion is a fact and not a fable. It's a fact and not a fable. Brother Paul said that some men would be turned into fables. You know what a fable is? It's a story that is untrue. Just a fable, just a tale, just a myth that is told. But I'm telling you that conversion is a fact. It's not a fable. Somebody said, how you know? Because the Bible said the wind bloweth. It's a fact that it blows, neighbor. Somebody said, how do you know it's a fact? Son, you are looking at the most fact, hallelujah to God, you've ever looked at. I remember where I was in 1970, barefoot on my way to hell, slobbering, puking, drunk. Amen. Strangers from the covenants of God, standing afar off from the very blood that was shed for my sin. Just an old sinner, twice dead, plucked up by the root. But the wind blowed on that Sunday morning. Oh yes, in Grace Baptist Church, and I was saved by the grace of God. It's a fact and not a fable. I won't say secondly, conversion, listen carefully, is faith and a feeling. I said it's faith and a feeling. I've heard preachers say, now we don't go by feelings. It's all the faith. Amen. Listen carefully. I'm not reading nothing in the text. He said the wind bloweth where it listeth, and what do? Hear the sound thereof. Faith cometh by. Hearing what? The word? The wind? Hearing the wind, you hear the sound, but you cannot tell whether it cometh and whither it goeth. Oh, I'm telling you, salvation is by faith. Amen. There is no doubt about it. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Oh, and the just shall live by faith. I'm glad, thank God, that I heard the wind blowing one day. Oh, I'm glad, thank God, that He opened my ears. And I heard the wind of the Holy Ghost blowing in the gable ends of my soul. And by the grace of God, I exercise faith in what I heard. And God save me. Amen. I say some of you's already ticked off. But you'll get glad. You will get glad over it, I'll tell you. Somebody said, now preacher, that ain't got nothing to do with feeling. The wind blows where it listens, you hear the sound thereof. I want to ask you a question. You ever stand outside in the wind and not feel it? Come on in the house, children. How many times have you been outside on a hot summer day and been working, that sweat's running off of you, buddy, pouring like water out of a faucet, and you sit down, the breeze is going, and you say, man, don't that breeze feel good? Oh, don't that breeze feel good? I'm going to tell you what I think about it. I don't understand John 3:16. But it sure does make a little boy feel clean. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Son, I'm glad I got something I can feel. Something's turned on the inside of me. Somebody said, how can it be, preacher? I'm going to tell you how. For that same wind that was a blowing that I heard has taken up residence in my heart. And that same wind from the outside is now blowing on the inside. Hallelujah to God. I've got wind out and wind in. And I feel it a blowing this morning by the good grace of God. I'm glad, Brother Billy, I've been to Calvary and been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm glad I've got something, praise God, I can feel. Just because we're Baptists don't mean we got to be dead at 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, it's the real thing. And it ain't Coca-Cola, friend. Faith and feeling. Hear the sound thereof. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and the wind can be felt. Our conversion is faith with a feeling. I want to say thirdly, our conversion is freedom and not fetters. I'm free. I am free. Are you listening? Thank God I could about run my head through a wall this morning. Somebody said, where do you get the freedom? My friend, try to gather the wind into your fist. Try to stop the wind. Try to take the wind and board it up in a room. You can't even see it. Amen. Much less building you a little cubicle and boarding it up into bondage. Oh, the wind is free. It blows where it listeth. Son, I'm glad I'm not in fetters any longer, but I have been set free by the grace of God. And if the Son will make you free, you're free indeed. Oh, do you hear the wind blowing this morning? Sinner man, do you hear the wind? A sinner woman, do you hear the wind? That you might find liberty in God. Get out from under your old religion that's got you bound down in religion and experience heartfelt old time Holy Ghost salvation with the grace of God. That'll make you free and free indeed. Woo! I'm free. I'm going to tell you what, when Jesus set me free that morning, when the wind blew and set me free that morning, and Jesus said, son, you're free. You can go your way. I said, Lord, thank you for setting me free, but here's what I'd rather do. I said, here. Praise God. Just bore a hole in my ear. I want to be a bond slave of Jesus. Hallelujah! Amen! I'm glad, thank God, that I'm a bond slave to Him this morning. He owns my soul. I belong to Jesus. I'm His slave. Somebody said, preacher, I don't like to be a slave. I'm telling you, you've never been a slave of Christ. Oh, yes, I'm a free slave, a free-born slave. Hallelujah, I've got liberty, and the wind of the blowing in my soul. That's a problem with some of y'all. You ain't never experienced a Jubilee year. And put that ear up against the doorpost and let your master bore that hole in your ear. Amen to God. Make you a bond slave of Jesus Christ. You know what Paul was saying when he wrote them epistles and said, I, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. He's saying, I'm a bond slave. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Oh, I started to say something. I don't know if it sounds too good. I'm black, but I'm comely. Hallelujah to God. And I am His bondslave. And don't make any bones about it. Hallelujah. Amen. If you didn't get rubbed right, hang around. I'll rub you the other way right now. I want to say that we're not only unique in our conversion, but brother, we're unique in our cleansing. How many of these churches? Well, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the water fountain. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the water fountain. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain, no, nothing but the water fountain. Oh, I'm cleansed by the works I do. I'm cleansed by the works I do. I'm cleansed by wafer on the tongue, drinking a jigger of wine, getting drunker than a scoot. I'm telling you, friend, we are unique in our cleansing this morning. There is not another church with that name, church, over the door, that believes in salvation by grace. Now look here, even our Methodist friends and our holiness friends, you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to catch a second blessing so they can get sanctified and get eradicated. Come on in the house, children. I won't charge you nothing for that. Somebody said, preacher, do you have any scripture for that? Whew. Son, I've got to hurry and I'm about to get carried away. I wish y'all would say amen or do something. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood, the B-L-O-O-D, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. Does what? Somebody tell me. Does what, Benny? Cleanses us from part of our sin. Got to get baptized to get the rest of it gone. Got to catch a second blessing to get it gone. Got to speak in tongues to get it gone. But God, it cleanses us from all sin. I said all sin. It's the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah to God. When He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. Glory to His name. Hallelujah. Woo! Put the blood on the doorpost in the lintels of your heart. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Hallelujah. It's the blood, neighbor. I won't say that it's thorough. The blood does a thorough job. Listen to what Jesus said. I'll tell you, that blood is unlike self-righteousness. There's a whole lot of folks trying to get self-righteous, Brother Mark. Here's what the Lord said about them. He said, and the Lord said unto him, now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. I'm telling you, I'm glad the blood does a thorough job. Son of man can get baptized, speak in tongues, eat a wafer, drink a jigger of wine, put on a three-piece suit, cut his hair, come to church 3 times a week, put his tithe in the offering plate, and be as vile and nasty and reprobate on the inside as a man can be. Oh, but the blood. Thank God. He has purged us. He's cleansed us. He's washed us. Hallelujah to God. And such were some of you. But now you're clean. Now you're washed. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad I'm thoroughly clean on the inside and on the outside. I'm saved, sanctified, and sealed. On my way to glory. Hallelujah. Those of blood have done a thorough job on me. Yes, sir. Praise God. It's thorough. I won't say not only is the blood and the cleansing a thorough job, but it's a transforming job. Somebody said, how do you know, preacher? Well, you know, in John 9, there's an old blind man sitting. Jesus called him to him. And Jesus spit on the ground. Jesus spit on the ground. And he made spittle out. Took spittle and made mud out of that. And he said unto him, go wash.
Amen.
Go wash. Amen. In the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent.
Amen.
See, has the Holy Ghost ever... Boy, I just got that one. Has the Holy Ghost ever sent you to Calvary? Has He ever sent you to Calvary? Has He ever come upon your soul and said, go to Calvary and wash that you might come again and see hallelujah to God?
Amen.
Said, go and wash and come again seeing. He went His way. Therefore, why therefore? Because He heard what Jesus said. And he washed, and he came seeing.
Amen.
Son, if you ask me, that's a transforming.
Amen.
That cleansing transformed him. I'm going to show you how much he was transformed. Here he sits. And here comes the scribes and the Pharisees. Where is he that was born blind? He said, right here, I'm the fella. Praise God, I was blind as a bat, couldn't see a thing. Well, how'd you receive your sight? He said, this man, I don't know who it was. The wind bloweth where it listeth.
Right.
I don't know who it was, but he said he just took some of his good, holy, divine spit, made a little bit of mud, put it on my eyes and told me, hey, I wonder how he saw to get to that pool. I'm going to tell you how. Come here, Brother Andy. Jesus said, put that on him. Now, you're blind, okay? Put that mud on there. And the Holy Ghost said, now, you come with me, son. I've got something over here for you. It's called the cross. You can wash. There's blood over there. There's a fountain over there where you... See, he couldn't... He's still blind. But he said when he washed, now you wash, Brother Andy, them mud out of your eyes and come a-seeing. Huh?
Amen!
I'm going to tell you how... I'm going to tell you how transforming it was. Are you listening to me? A crowd gathered around him and said... some of them said, he's the blind guy. Them others said, no, he ain't that guy. Some of them said, yeah, he is. He said, I'm the one. But I'm going to tell you where the proof's in the pudding. They asked his mom and daddy, said, is this your son? That's our son. How does he see? They said, we don't know. All I know is he was born blind, but said, hallelujah to God. Now he sees. He said, he's of age. Ask him. I'm going to tell you what some of you kids ought to do. Some of you kids ought to serve God in spite of your mom and daddy. Amen. Kick the slats out and serve God. Just go on. What do you think that bunch of kids that Brother Allen's got to singing and to worshiping God? Oh, yeah. They come a day in their own life when they too had to go to the pool and wash.
Amen.
That crowd said, are you him? He said, I'm him. Son, that's transforming, isn't it? Jesus found him and said, would you believe on the one that opened them eyes of yours? And he said, I would if I knew who it was. Jesus said, I'm the man who was looking right at him. And he said, Lord, I believe. And hey, and he worshiped him and did not, Jesus didn't refuse the worship. Ooh, hallelujah to God. Unique in our cleansing. It's thorough. It is transforming. I want to say it's tangible. Somebody said, what do you mean it's tangible? It's perceptive. The maniac. What are you going to do about the maniac in Mark 5:15? In the tombs, cutting himself dead. When I say perceptive, I mean it's something you can get a hold of. Something you can touch. Something you can recognize. Something you can see. That old maniac, my friend, was naked in the tomb, cutting himself, a screaming and a holler. But when Jesus passed by, hallelujah to God, and made him whole, they was for, hey, they come to Jesus from the in town, and they saw him that was possessed with a devil, and and he was sitting and clothed, and in his right mind, hallelujah to God, and fear fell upon every one of them. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying they knew that man. They knew what he was before Jesus passed by. Some of y'all ain't getting nervous, are you? I'm going to tell you, somebody in here is a grieving God right now. And I'm not trying to copy Sammy Allen, but somebody's a grieving God. You're madder than a wet hornet, what I said about somebody about baptism speaking in tongues. You're so mad you can't see straight. And I will rub you in another direction, but if you don't get it right with God. Huh? If you don't believe Baptist doctrine, you ain't a Baptist.
Yeah.
I believe it, and I'm going to preach it.
Yeah.
said, her lips, the devil, I'm going to preach it, and you along with it.
Amen.
Amen. I won't charge you nothing for that. Amen. I won't say that we're unique in our covenant. Somebody said, oh, preacher, what do you mean covenant? Let me read this to you. Hebrews 10:6. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts. And in their minds will I write them. May I say to you, my friend, that I am not under a contract written on a piece of paper. You want to know why I'm so dogmatic and some of you ain't? I've got the covenant written right there, buddy.
Amen.
He didn't write her on tables of stone.
Right.
But thank God that covenant's written in the flesh with tables of my heart.
Amen.
Whoa, His law is right there written and engraved in my heart.
Amen.
Now get this now. He said, for I've written them. I've written them. I'm going to find my place here. Hold on just a minute. I've written them. To write them means to inscribe. You know what the word inscribe means? It means perpetual. That's why I say we're unique in our covenant. Somebody said, now, preacher, if you don't hang on, hold out, and endure to the end, you'll lose what God's done for you. You got to keep on working. I might have to keep on working if the law was written on them tables of stone. And that's all that I had to go by, friend. But I'm going to tell you, they come a day on September the 13th, 1970, when He wrote the law and inscribed it in the fleshly tables of my heart. And it's perpetual! It's written there. Somebody said, oh, it can be erased. Well, go on. Come on, do it, big boy. Jump right in there with your little worldly eraser and erase it. I've even got better than that for you. Because I might die. Now, I'm getting ready. I'm going to run on this one. Y'all do whatever you want to. I said it's perpetual. In this rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now somebody climb on up Jacob's little ladder with your little eraser and erase them out of the Lamb's book of life, which is written in heaven. I'm said I'm going to take that. Praise God, I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God, Brother Steve.
Yes.
I said it is perpetual.
Amen.
The covenant cannot be broken.
That's right.
Now get this. I'm not the one that made the covenant.
That's right.
He said, I will put them in their heart and I will write them in their mind.
Right.
Do you know when He made the covenant with Abraham? Abraham cut up all them sacrifices and laid them out and pieced them out, and God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Abraham. You know what that's a type of? Abraham, my friend, was dead in trespasses and sins. He was asleep. He was a sleeping sinner, dead in trespasses. But after he got to sleep, a smoking flax went through that sacrifice. And God sealed the covenant with Abraham. Now I'm telling you, my friend, our covenant relationship does not depend on us. Our feelings? No. It depends upon a thrice holy God that sealed it in our fleshly tables of our hearts.
Amen.
You get a hold of that? I said it's perpetual. Whew. Some of y'all ain't going to get this one. It's peaceful. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace.
Amen.
When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. I'm glad I've got peace in my heart for the moment. I'm not wringing my hands and worried about what's going on. I'm not even worried about y'all that got mad. You know why? I know I'm right.
Yeah.
Hallelujah to God. I'm glad it's a covenant of peace. I want to say fourthly, and I'm trying to hurry. We are unique in our commitment. I said our commitment. Somebody, where's my glasses? Man, I thought I done broke them. Praise God. Unique in our commitment. I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, and if this don't appertain to you, I love you anyway. But you're looking at a man that is committed to his Savior.
Amen.
I'm committed to Jesus. And if you don't want to be, you know, I mean, you can just slop around and loaf on God. Play lazy. But when Paul was getting ready to go to Jerusalem, and they said, Paul, don't go. Said they're going to bind the man that owns this girdle in Jerusalem. Said, you're going to be bound. And said, your freedom is going to be gone. And I'm going to tell you what Brother Paul said. He said, but none of these things move me. Brother Mark, I'm committed to him. Pardon my expression. Come hell or high unto my Lord. Yes, sir. He said, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. You know why he was committed and didn't let any of them things move him? He said, I want to finish this thing up with joy.
Yeah.
The reason some of you don't have any joy, you've been moved from your course.
Amen.
Something is fear, family, friends, an acquaintance, somebody. Amen. Somebody has got your heart. That's why you can't relax and enjoy old-time Holy Ghost preaching in an old-fashioned Baptist way, is because you're scared of somebody of the opposite persuasion. Thank you. For I said, none of these things move, that I might finish my course with joy. Said, I'd rather have God's approval and have joy in my heart than have the approval of all mankind and be miserable. He said, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God.
Amen.
Son, I'm having fun testifying.
Amen.
I like it, buddy.
Amen.
Hallelujah, I like it. I'm committed to my Savior. I won't say I'm committed to my spouse. I'm getting sick and tired of this bunch of whoremongers. I'm going to tell you why women commit adultery.
Amen.
Preachers' wives commit adultery. They don't have any commitment, friend.
Amen.
They got loaded up with lust.
Right.
And said, I do, because I can't wait to get to the motel room on my honeymoon. I mean, I'm so enthused about my honey that I'd rather have something she's got than have her.
Amen.
Come on the house, children. I'm committed to my spouse.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, that young lad that walked out up there at Brother Anderson's with that arrogant look on his face, and that went through my mind what that man said, my wife's fat and ugly and she don't turn me on anymore. And I'm going to tell you what, if I hadn't have been saved by the good grace of God, bigger than me or no bigger than me, Brother Andrew, I'm going to tell you right now, son, it'd have been on in Kernersville.
Amen. Amen.
Huh? I'm going to tell you something, friend. Angie ain't been able to have a baby yet. And I know some things that you all don't even know. But I'm going to tell you right now, buddy, if my boy would fall out for her because she couldn't conceive and give him a child, I'm committed to my spouse, buddy. Win, lose, or draw. Somebody said, what are you going to do when she gets old? What do you mean, what am I going to do when she gets old? She ain't going to get old. I am.
Amen.
Now, y'all catch that and after a while.
Amen.
She'll never have a wrinkle. She'll never be overweight. She'll always be beautiful and charming and lovely.
Amen.
She'll always have the sweetest personality about her. Oh, yes. Why, Brother Hall? I'm committed to my marriage.
Amen.
Yes. It's going to work by the grace of God. It's going to work. I'm committed to it. And I tell you another reason why. My dove, my undefiled, is but uno. The choice one of her husband, I picked her. I saw her walking up Man Avenue that day. Something inside of me done a double back flip, boy, and I said, there's the one for Hall, boy. And I'm committed. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a marriage that's living on something besides lust. You're going to have a little love and a little commitment, friend, if you're going. And it ain't 50-50, it's 100-100.
Amen.
Amen. I see some of you feels like the rope to the burning. And I'm going to tell you something. While I'm there, bless God, I don't need the stinking promise keepers. Drove through Nashville the other day and there was a big old billboard and showed a guy in water just his nose and head sticking up. And said, promise keepers are coming. You know what they're telling people? Marriages all across the world are just keeping their heads above water. But the promise keepers will bail your marriage out and give you a commitment to your marriage that will last. I've got news for that crowd. If I have to crawl up in bed with some hairy-legged man and tell him that I'm going to commit myself to my wife, that's silly. I'm going to tell you something. Brother Ricky went to Resaca with me. We didn't even sleep in the same room. We slept in two different rooms, buddy. I ain't crawling up in the bed with some other man. Standing down there like a fool in a little old circle. I want you to know I'm going to promise to treat my wife right, you benighted idiot. You. Promise keepers. You can't keep a promise to another man. You wind up, hey, but I'm going to tell you what, they that vow to the Lord, let them keep that vow. I'm also, hey, we're unique in our commitment to my study. I'm going to study, friend. Preachers in some of these camp meetings, and one of them said the other day, said, if you read Arthur Pink and all them Puritans, said, you're a reprobate. I'm going to tell you what I've done. I asked him Friday night. I said, do you think I'm a reprobate, Jack? He said, I didn't call you no reprobate. I said, yeah, you did. Oh, he said, Brother Hall, I love you. He said, I wouldn't call you a reprobate. I said, did you say people read Arthur Pink and Puritans as a reprobate? I said, what, did you or didn't you? I said, I read them.
Amen.
Now, am I a reprobate? Come on, the house, youngins.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. Paul, you've ever read John Rice and Curtis Hudson, you're simple-minded.
Amen.
You are spiritually simple-minded, friend.
Amen.
And if a truly born-again Christian, if reading literature will corrupt you, you ain't got the Holy Ghost, because He will guide you in all truth.
That's right.
He'll sift out the wrong and seal the right.
Amen.
And I'm committed to my study. Now, I've got to close. I know it's 1 o'clock. Why are we unique? Face 60 queens, 80 virgins, or 80 concubines, virgins without number. But my dove, my undefiled, is but one. The choice one of her mother that married. What makes us so unique? I won't say that we're unique in our conduct. I'm going to tell you what, friend. Some of these camp meetings you go to, you got to be careful. Them little old girls running around with slits, belly. I've seen them in the last 2 weeks with their bellies hanging out. Camp meeting. I've seen them sit on the back row in camp meetings and just about waller each other half to death. Almost necking. Are you listening to me? Little old mini skirts plumb up to here. Somebody said, oh, preacher, I'm going to tell you what the problem is. I ain't been bone again, buddy. Our conduct. Can I tell you what Brother Paul said? But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not once be named among you.
Amen.
as becometh saints. I think God's people ought to have conduct that becometh saints.
Yes.
That means dressing right at all times.
Right. Amen. Amen. That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Come on now. We won't charge nothing for all this.
Preach. Amen, brother.
Right.
You ladies, find you some skirts and blouses and some dresses. Retire your culottes and your breeches.
Amen.
It won't kill you. Amen. When we got out in Arizona, they told my wife, said, now you'll soon be wearing breeches out here. Miss Hall said, no, I won't be wearing no breeches. They said, well, everything out here scratches and cuts and claws. And said, that's one reason. Said, besides, said, you can't climb up on nothing in a dress without revealing yourself. Miss Hall said, well, number one, I won't be out where everything cuts and scratches. I'll be in the house doing what I'm supposed to do. And secondly, I won't climb up on a ladder when there's nobody around but my husband. Conduct, friend.
Right.
Adultery. People live in adultery for 3 and 4 years and get caught. They is a problem there, friend. I don't care. I love preachers, but I don't care who props this sort of stuff up. I'm not putting my approval on sin.
Amen. Amen. Right. Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's right.
Christ's
unique bride.
Amen.
Very unique, friend. One of a kind. Just
Amen.
One of a kind. Let's stand together. There may be somebody here this morning without God. Maybe somebody here and you're not quite as committed or dedicated as you should be. While these are praying, it'd be a good time for other folks to do some business with God. Can I say this to you and I love you? These folks in here this morning is disgruntled. You need to get it right. I'm just telling you, if you don't get it right with God, it's going to kill you. It's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy your family if you don't get it right with God. You cannot live forever being puffed up about something all the time. Be a good day to seal it right. Heavenly Father, thank you for the morning, the time today. Pray you bless thy people. May old time conviction work in great ways in our midst this morning. Save someone for your honor, your glory. I pray, O God, that you'd bless this church, your people, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Make thyself known unto us. Thank you again for the good reports from the churches and the help that they've been to us. Please work out difficulties and problems and irritable spirits, disgruntled hearts, and trouble between folk, that we might accomplish great things in unity for the glory of God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What is that song, Brother Steve?
304.
Have thine own way. If God's spoken to your heart, the altars are open. If not, would you sing right out with Brother Steve this morning as we sing this invitation hymn, While God is Here. His presence is prevalent in the house of God today. You need to move for Him. Why don't you do something today? Would you do that while we sing, Brother Steve?
Thank you.
Sing another verse, Brother Steve. Sing one more, please. Appreciate you being here today. Let's go a praying. And don't forget at 5 o'clock. We need the children here. I know it's a short day. I understand that.